The Creative Business Podcast is brought to you by Noosey. Online proposals made simple for creative businesses. Visit Noosey.com to learn how your business can start winning more projects today.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Business Podcast, the podcast that aims to help you build a better, more creative business. So I'm here today. I almost wasn't here today. There was a huge power outage a couple of hours ago, but the power has just managed to come back, you know, sort of half an hour ago. So I thought we'd jump straight on this this call with David. Hello, David. How are you doing today?
Hey there, Nathan. I think I'm doing a little better than you guys are over there, just hearing about the insanity of that storm. Glad you guys are safe.
Yeah, so we thought we'd just jump on before it cuts out again. Who knows what's going to happen? The weather's absolutely crazy over here in Spain at the moment. There's just flash floods going on. There are like cars floating down streets down the south of Spain, and it's the weather has gone nuts. So how are you doing anyway, man?
Good. The apocalypse seems to be happening everywhere around us, but in San Diego right now, it's actually pretty nice. So maybe we're going to get that storm in a couple of days. But for now, things are pretty good.
And how was 4th of July over there?
It was great. It was really nice. It's really nice. And I think this is a good lesson for all freelancers and people working full-time jobs or doing consulting, that it's nice to step away. I think it gives really good perspective on even creating new ideas when you come back. So I had 2 days off, which is a rarity for me. Usually I'll work every day, and now I have all these great ideas which are just kind of forming in my mind. So never knew it would happen that way, but I'm ready to go.
Excellent, man. So in the last episode we were speaking about generating leads for our businesses, for our creative businesses, and I thought it'd be a nice tie on this week if we could have a look, you know, once you get past that lead stage and you start actually talking to your clients and heading towards getting a proposal done. There's that whole thing in between of I remember when I was sort of full-time freelancing years ago, I get really excited when a lead came through the door. And, you know, it might have even been a cold lead that was contacting me saying, hey, I need a new website designed. You know, I need it to have this page, that page, and the other. I want it to look like this and that and the other. You know, and I would take that as, yeah, that's enough information. Let me just jump straight into proposal and I'll get that out to him by the end of the day, and that'll be it. Bing, bam, boom. And my close rate on projects weren't particularly high back in the day. And I was sat there wondering why. So I think this whole process of client interviews, and how we can sort of get the most valuable information possible out of clients before we even begin to look at a proposal is, extremely valuable. I know for a fact that a lot of freelancers and even a lot of agencies forego this digging around informational stage, should we say. They might just have, you know, a sort of a very brief intro to the client, to the project, and then they just jump in and sort of churn out a template. And I think a lot of people get upset then when they don't win those projects. I have to say that once I started moving over into taking a more serious approach with my client interviews, I mean, client interviews is just a more fancy way of saying talking to your client, you know, actually chatting. My projects, my close rate went from, you know, sort of never knowing what was going to happen to a 90% close rate, and almost, you know, 99% of the time knowing when a proposal went out that it was already mine. It was almost like a formality. So I think this would be a great subject to look at. So what about you, David? I mean, we kind of spoke a little bit last week about how you approach potential new leads, and your approach was very personable, and you would sort of do things a little bit differently. So how when you were sort of first kicking things off with freelancing, how would you approach the whole sort of initial stages of a project, getting information, turning that into perhaps a proposal or a quote or something? How did you used to go about it?
I think back in the day, I made literally every mistake that one can make when trying to gather client information. I remember when I started freelancing, I was just really desperate to get into the freelancing space. And this was 5 or 6 years ago. So I would go to any company I could find and be like, please let me help you with your online advertising. At that time, I was doing some AdWords and Facebook ad stuff. And I didn't really care at all about what the client was like, what the expectations were. And, you know, I think that's part of the learning process. Now I have a much different process, and it's kind of transcended some of those issues just by the natural evolution of failing again and again and again. And I mentioned this last time, but the whole failing forward concept. Mm-hmm. So what I look for now, there are actually three major things I look for now. One is the company I'm helping with in integrity with helping the world and morally aligned with adding value to the world? And I think that's a pretty complicated question that a lot of freelancers don't ask. And the reason why I ask that question is, if there's a company that just doesn't seem to care about helping the world, adding value, there's probably some questionable business activities going on as far as how do we understand where the value is being added. So I think that's one thing I always am cautious about at the beginning of doing any RFP or proposal process. The second thing I always think about is, where does my value lie with this company? So if a company needs some SEO help, for example, and I don't know anything about SEO, then there's probably a misalignment. And I think that's a critical question to ask, where there's an alignment of, okay, like, what do you need help with and where's my skill set? Mm-hmm. And then the third thing I always try to keep in mind is, what's a budget range for the client and how does that fit in with my budget range and expectations around the entire financial aspect? So if their range,
you've never gone ahead with a proposal without knowing the client's budget, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. And well, I know that's a big one.
You'd be the only one, man. I've gone ahead, and of course I've crashed and burned. We've spoken about this as well in other places on the blog, but a lot of times, you know, freelancers, and yes, we'll always include agencies as well, are actually scared to ask. You know, we like to presume that, you know, because we've done our due diligence, because we've done other things, because, you know, maybe they do align with our sort of moral guidelines, maybe they are bringing something positive to the table and things, but there are other areas as well that we can always, we presume to know, or we hope to presume to know, because we really want to work with these people. And I think that budget one is one that a lot of us fall down on more often than you probably care to, or we would care to admit, I think. But we can get into that. So.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, that's great, man. That's great that you have those sort of three pinnacles of starting any new project. Because I think a lot of creatives do fall into the trap of just getting super excited about a new lead coming in, almost going with the minimal information that they have available to them, being scared to lose that client, you know, so obviously wanting to get something out the door as soon as possible. You know, if I don't get this proposal out by tomorrow morning, then they're going to go elsewhere and I'm going to lose them and that's going to be it. And I'm never going to pay the rent. So I think this sense of urgency is really bad for us as well. But I think I definitely encourage freelancers to sort of take a step back and say, look, you know, if I really am going to be able to help this client, there are a few things I need to know. Me being able to help them and them being successful obviously go hand in hand. And sometimes it's not always going to work out. Sometimes, you know, after we do talk to the people, we realize that maybe we can't help them, or we don't want to help them, or they don't have the budget for us to help them in the way that they want. So I think there's a pretty broad list of questions we can go ahead and ask in these, what we call client interviews, you know. But I think for the sake of today's episode, we should probably just take a look at a few and perhaps some of the most important and go from there. What do you reckon?
Yeah, let's do that. I like that.
Cool, man. Let's. So we sat down with the client. I always tended to do this with Skype because I've always worked remotely. Obviously, this can work in person as well. I mean, you've always worked remotely as well, right?
Yeah, I have. And I think Skype is a great option. And there are few tools I like using when I do Skype calls as well to make sure that I'm on the same page, and even to retroactively go back through the talk and make sure that what I heard in real time kind of lines up with what I see in a recording. So Ecamm Recorder, I believe it's called, and we'll put a link in the description of the podcast. But it's a great tool, and I use this quite a bit, even just doing client interviews for Nusi to make sure that our product lines up to their expectations. And essentially in the background of Skype, it just runs and records the entire conversation. But I think Skype is a great option in general. Google Hangouts is another great option. Whatever the technology used is, it's a really good idea to either record the conversation or to have a pen and paper in front of you for notes.
Yeah, I'd second the recording because, you know, even just one or two days later, there are so many details that you can forget about, you know, sort of facial expressions or signs of pain when they're talking about a certain element of their business. These are all just incredibly valuable. Even the language they use, you know, when you're talking, because these are all things you're going to want to sort of throw back to them, should we say, in a proposal. But of course, if you are recording, let them know that you're recording. So the first thing I'd always want to ask when I'm sat down with a new client is, why do they need this new sort of product or service or whatever it is? You know, in my case, they would come to me for a website design. And it could almost seem like a silly question. You know, they've already said to you, well, you know, I need a website design. And usually people don't turn around and say, well, why do you need it? Because usually they're just there with their hand held out saying, okay, pay me and I'll do it for you. So I think it can be a little sort of contradictory to say, well, tell me why you need it. But I think there are a couple of good reasons to ask this. Oftentimes it's hard for us to think about why we need something new. And this goes with anything, you know, with consumerism, with products, with building a better business, you know. Sometimes we just want it because we want it. Sometimes we want it because the guy next door has got a better model than us, or because, you know, the competition's webpage has got a revamp and suddenly it looks better. You know, if you can't know the reasons behind why they actually need this new X, whatever that might be, it can be actually difficult to offer up what the client is actually looking for, I find. Have you ever sort of made the assumption as to why a client has wanted a product or wanted a new service? You mentioned before about the sort of mismatch, shall we say, on what a client is looking for and what you can offer.
I think the biggest mistake I've made a lot of times is taking things at face value.
That's the one.
The potential client. Yeah. Yeah. And what I think is interesting about that, there are actually two things I think that's really interesting about listening to what a client says or a prospect says, and then interpreting it and translating it into an exact business need. One of the main issues behind that is people are historically very bad at saying why they want something and the reason they want it. And there are usually a lot of nuances behind that. So to point to the point you just brought up, Nathan, about a new website, a lot of people will say, hey, I just want a new website because I think it's a fancy reason why. And there's this methodology called the five whys, where you just ask why five times and you get to the core reason. And I think that can be a little heavy-handed and overly aggressive. But the principle of trying to find out the root cause for a request or for a project is a really good one. So maybe someone wants a website because ultimately they want to get more sales at their core. They want to increase sales to their product and they're a struggling business, let's say. That's a really good indication then of what you need to do with the website. So this is where recording, this is where notes come in handy during the call. You can go back through the call and translate these very ambiguous ideas that a prospect or client might have and really hone in on the exact reason why they want the project done.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. Now, see, we're already diving off into areas because exactly like they say, you know, we're not making enough sales. We're not hitting our monthly numbers, for example. So therefore we need a new website. But of course the two things don't really match, do they? Them hitting their sales or their numbers or whatever the goal might be doesn't necessarily have to have anything to do with the website. So this is why, like you said, the five whys aren't necessarily the answer, but definitely it goes down that road. So they say, well, we're not hitting our monthly sales. All right. So how do you think that connects to your website? How do you think that could be solved by redesigning your website? What areas should we be looking at? Does it even have anything to do with your website? Are you using a sales platform? If so, what kind of platform? There are just so many ways you could go with that. So yeah, I think asking for a reason or their interpretation of the reason, you know, the problem might not actually be the problem at all, like you say. So say we're not hitting our sales targets, so we need, therefore we need a new website. Well, the two, you know, it's not necessarily that way at all. But to a client, that might be the answer. So this is why we need to start asking these questions.
I think so too. And I think what's interesting is oftentimes with any type of project or business approach, there's often a more holistic need than what the client originally anticipates. So like you just said, perfect example that a client comes to you and is like, hey, I need a new website. And just through some question asking, through some experience, you know that, okay, I need to figure out why they want this website. So you dig down and find out the exact reason they want the website is to increase sales to their product. But in all honesty, a website probably usually isn't going to be the one root cause to solving those sales. You have to look at the funnel. You have to make sure that you have personas defined, you're appealing to the right customer segment, et cetera, et cetera. So understanding that root cause also helps a freelancer, a consultant, or an agency define expectations from the beginning. So maybe a website could still help, but it wouldn't be the cure-all. And as a freelancer, consultant, or agency, you could come in and say, hey, I see what you're looking for. As a heads up, I want to be honest with you. This might not solve everything you're looking for, but I think it will help you get closer. Do you still want to proceed? Something along those lines.
Yeah, and I think a flip question to that as well is to ask directly, you know, what problem is this going to solve? If we move forward together, you know, with this project that you've brought to me, what problem is it going to solve? Because it's going to go along the same lines of the problem they think is, or hoping it's going to solve, and then almost working backwards from there, you know, because we're part-time detectives as well, right? You know, the successful freelancer is also a part-time detective. The one who just takes on projects and works as a technician, works as a pair of hired hands, that's not the kind of freelancer I want to be, and I hope it's not the kind of freelancer that, you know, the people that we hopefully want to help grow their businesses want to be either. I think a good right. freelance has to be that detective, and it has to find out whether, you know, we can actually help and help improve the business at the same time. I think it's two different types of freelancing, and I think we would like to separate, at least I would myself, from the prior, should I say. And I think one way as well of helping with this is, like I mentioned in the previous episode, a lot of times when I talk to customers, I almost try and talk them out of hiring me. For many reasons. So I think, sort of question in a similar line, not necessarily a similar line, but what will happen to your business if we don't move forward with this project? How is your business going to be impacted? How is it going to suffer? A lot of these questions I think can be hard because a lot of times, as you said, we don't necessarily always think about these things as a client. We just think we need a new website and for the reason X, and then we want to move forward. So I think a lot of these questions, even if you don't necessarily get the answers you expect or you want, or maybe I think they just open the doorways to discussion.
I think so too. And that brings up another really good question that I would say is more of an introspective question for a freelancer or a consultant or agency to ask themselves. And that question is, what do I want of this project? What do I want to get out of this project? And I had a friend ask me that about freelancing recently myself. He's like, okay, why do you want to freelance? And we did kind of a five whys on that. And it was a really interesting look at why I want to freelance and why I want to be a consultant. And really what I got to was I like helping businesses reach the next level. And I like the freedom of living the life I want to live. And through that introspection, that also helps guide those client interview questions to naturally kind of surface in the way that aligns with what I want. So having that introspective question then brings out some really good client interview questions as well.
Completely. And I think as well, that leads not on nicely to this, what am I hoping to get out of this? Or what would I like to get out of freelancing in this case, or out of my creative business?
Right.
I think our internal goal set, and therefore we should expect as well, even if they haven't been vocalized or necessarily thought about, that the client should also have those goals as well, obviously about their own business, about this particular project and where they'd like to go with it. And I think this is crucial. For example, if we take the sales example again, so they've come to us for a new website because their monthly target isn't being hit and sales target isn't being hit. So obviously within that, there are so many areas we could look at. There are so many things that we could approach and we could try and improve upon through this redesign. If it came to be a redesign, we could actually end up, you know, advising something completely different, but that's when we have all the information and all the cards on the table. But I think this is where you would begin to look at, what are the goals? What would the goals of this project be moving forward? And actually getting some specifics, I think, generalized specifics at this point, if that makes any sense. But I think really sort of starting, we've probably been talking for a good while now, I think, with the client at this point, you know, maybe this is even, perhaps even the second or third chat we've had, you know. But I think asking for those goals, what they see a successful version of this project being, what is that? What is a successful version of this project?
I agree. And I think another thing to keep in mind is, for me, it gets easier every single time I do a client interview and every single time I talk with a prospective client. So thinking about 5 years ago when I was literally like, I will help you do advertising. I don't even care about what your business does. I just want to get paid. And I wasn't even getting really paid anything back then. And then compared to today, I know the types of questions to ask a little better, but I think there's a lot of learning going on still. So a way I would frame this in the mind of a freelancer, consultant, or agency is, what can
maybe,
I experiment
with? Maybe we just need
with?
To start saying creative business. Freelance, right. Consultant, creative or business. Agency. Creative business. Moving forward.
For a creative business, a good question to ask in that case is, what can I experiment with question-wise, knowing that the next time I ask questions will be even better? So try different questions, try different approaches, see what happens when you ask potential clients or prospects how you can help them, how you can get these questions answered. See what works, see what doesn't, and then readjust.
It completely gets easier the more you do. I remember I used to be terrified of doing these, because part of the reason I am a freelancer is because I would tend to shy away from sort of real life relationships. You know, I'd much rather have this sort of virtual relationship. And for me, those Skype calls initially were really, really hard. But now they ended up being one of my favorite parts of the project, you know. So they do get a lot easier, and you will get to the point where you have a pretty solid base of questions to ask and knowing which ones work and in which situation. Coming back again to this finding out what a client is hoping to achieve from a project, I think is paramount as well, because this is where we will be able to gauge our success further down the road. Because like you were saying back at the beginning, when you're a freelancer, you just take on any project that comes your way because you need to get paid, because you want to get experience, because you know it's in your field of work, and we're very grateful to have the job. But obviously, if you want to sort of move up that scale, that ranking, shall we say, of sort of the creative business, whether that's freelance or, you know, in an agency environment, we do start to become sort of more selective with who we work with. And I think part of the way we do that is by partaking in and running successful projects. And for them to be successful, we need to know what makes them successful, and therefore what makes a success in the eyes of the customer. Because if it's not a success to them, then it's no good to anyone. So I think this is why this is so crucial.
It's such a great point. And to me, that's just like the epitome of everything we're talking about, that asking the right questions more easily sets up the creative business, and it sets up the prospect or client for success. And then success means that it's potentially a long-term relationship, potentially lucratively and financially very beneficial to both sides. And then when you're looking for referrals to future clients or future work, you have this great client who you showed great results for that is either willing to introduce you directly to more people who need help, or acts as a referral source and, let's say, a testimonial for your website. So aligning the vision definitely helps create those amazing projects.
And completely. And I think, yeah, these client interviews work as both things. They help you to set up obviously what you need to make this project successful, and you also do create that perhaps bond is perhaps a strong word at this point in the relationship with the client, but you do begin to create that relationship, and that relationship is so important, which is why I said at the beginning it's part of the reason by the time I would get to a proposal, I would already know to an almost 100% certainty that it was already mine, because that relationship had been established, and we were now at a point where the sort of the business was an open book, and I would know how and if I could help them. So, well, I mean, we have to get to the question that everybody hates asking, and I mean everyone, or at least I always did.
Right. And I'm curious, you have a lot of experience in this area, Nathan, so I'm curious what you have historically done for asking that question. And just as importantly, if a creative business was still relatively early on, how would you recommend they broach that question if they don't really know what their rate is and if they're not really familiar with what to charge or how to charge?
Oh, that's a tricky one. If you're still unsure of what you should be charging, I think that's possibly a podcast in itself. I would say that those initial projects, when you're still not sure what to charge, at least for myself, I would always time everything, regardless of whether you're a believer in per hour, per day, value-based, regardless of how you want to work or how you prefer to work. I think at least at these initial stages, you need to know how long things take you. And I used to time everything. So I would know how long it took me to do the initial wireframes for a website that was size X, you know, size XY, then the initial designs. So I would at least have a starting point of saying, well, if it's going to take me, you know, sort of X weeks to do this kind of project, then I know that I need to be making this kind of money, you know, on a very basic level. That's how I started. But again, there are so many ways to price yourself, and I think this would be a great podcast in itself as well.
For me too, I think there are a couple ways that I'll just briefly explain thinking about pricing for new creative businesses. And like Nathan said, we'll probably do this podcast in the future. But one way is to track your time, as Nathan said. Typically, hourly is the easiest way to get started. And there are a lot of really good free time tracking tools out there. Toggle, TOGGL.com is one I use that's free. And the way to find an hourly rate for me historically has just been looking at what other people in my industry are charging. So when I started out copywriting, doing freelance copywriting a little over a year ago, I would look at what other people were charging, and I started within that range. And then as I got more clients, I would then move my rate higher. So that's just a quick 30-second overview of what creative businesses can do for initial charging ideas. And I'm really curious to hear what you do now, Nathan, for charging and how that process and question comes about with prospects and clients.
Yeah, well, when initially I did hate asking this question, and it was always something difficult for me. In fact, I was having coaching for a while, a few years back, and one of the things he made me do was practice saying, "This is how much I charge," without smiling, without going red, without feeling guilty or whatever, trying to give half of it away to charity. But so I think, yeah, it basically needs to just be a clean question. And the way I used to ask was literally just, how much have you put aside for this project? How much you are willing to invest in this project? And ordinarily, people will push back on that straight away, because at this point, especially if this is the first meeting, they don't really know you. They presume that sort of most creative businesses will max out your budget, so they're afraid to give any kind of budget. The way I used to get around that, you know, if they were scared, was what I would do was I would suggest some minimum ranges, because I knew that I wasn't going to work for less than X number of thousand. So I would say, you know, sort of, are we talking between 5 and 10,000? You know, are we talking 10 to 20, or are we talking more? And that way, sort of, clients are always happier to bracket themselves without sort of pinning themselves down, shall we say. And I found that I never had a problem getting past that. Of course, if they say, well, oof, do you know what? I hadn't even considered, you know, sort of reaching that first bracket. Well, then you automatically, you know, depending on what you're willing to work for and what you're willing to do, you can just either refer them straight away without having wasted too much time. Or you can say, well, you know, perhaps we could look at that, but then it would mean I could probably only help you in, you know, in this aspect. But yeah, the price range for me was invaluable. We've actually got a great article over on the blog about getting a client's budget without dying in the intent. And there are a lot of respected freelancers, and they all give their advice on the budget. They all insist on asking for the budget. None of them will move past a client interview if they don't get the budget. They all just ask flat out. So I think, yeah, this is just one of those things where you have to sort of bite the bullet and just, you know, politely, gently ask how much they're willing to invest in this project.
I think that's a great idea.
And it does get easier, and it does get easier.
It's a very weird thing that most of us, and I still feel this way when I talk about money and budgeting with clients. And I think the range is a really good idea, especially for people who are working with clients who might not even know the range. And that happens a lot, and it ties into what we talked about earlier with clients who potentially don't even know why they want to do the project at the core level. That asking a budget range and bucketing is a really easy way for them to give a number. So highly recommend it. That's a great idea.
I mean, and don't forget as well, these client interviews, you know, I wouldn't just jump on a client interview with somebody who sent me an email saying, I need a new website. You know, let's do this. I would never, ever do that. We probably should have mentioned this at the beginning, but I would always do any sort of client vetting before even getting to a call. Cause I know a lot of people have said, well, why would you spend all this time doing client interviews? You know, this, you could be charging for this time on other projects, but this is something that I would always vet via a sort of brief questionnaires beforehand, before actually getting on this call. So I would tend to hope that sort of by the time that I'd actually sat down and spoke to someone, they would sort of have a rough idea that I wasn't necessarily going to work for peanuts.
And what type of questions do you ask during that vetting period?
They would actually be a variation of what I would go through in a live client interview. They would be a lot more general ones, especially as I was web design orientated. So I would go through the sort of typical sort of data gathering process. I would ask them sort of for areas of references, why they were needing the redesign. Just I'd say a pretty general, almost stereotypical questionnaire. But I would definitely ask them to get involved in that questionnaire. It wasn't going to be a yes, no, A, B, or C. It wasn't something that they were going to be able to do in 2 minutes, because I wanted to know that they were willing to invest a certain amount of time helping me before I would get on a call with them, if that makes any sense. If they weren't willing to invest 10 minutes giving me the information I needed, then I wouldn't talk to them.
I really like that, because a good client relationship is a two-way street for the creative business and the client. And you can't be expected as a creative business to solve the issues that they potentially want you to solve without them meeting you halfway and providing the right information, mm-hmm. giving you access to tools and backends and data as needed. So if they're not willing to even fill out a 3 to 4 question survey, or potentially even just respond back and forth, maybe 1 or 2 times over email, and then hop on a Skype call or a Google Hangouts or a Zoom meeting or whatever it is, then they're probably not really serious about the project, or it's just not the right fit. And both of those are okay. It's just an understanding that as a creative business, it's very difficult to succeed unless you have the client in your side of the court.
Completely, completely, yeah. And for me, it was paramount. You know, the client had to want to be, you know, for any project to be successful, the client has to be involved from the beginning to the end. You know, you hear of some sort of creative agencies, businesses, you know, who just say, don't worry, we'll take care of everything. You won't have to lift a finger. For me personally, that's never been my experience. You know, I've always needed and wanted the client to be involved, because, you know, we don't want any nasty surprises. You don't want to turn up on sort of the day of sort of, here's your website, da, 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 and then be like, what the hell is this? You know, there is just, the client needs to be involved for me from the beginning to the end. We could literally be here probably, you know, all afternoon going through questions. I think we should probably close this sort of question round with one final question that for me was always incredibly valuable as well. And I would ask them, if this project could only achieve one goal, what would it be?
I love that. And what's the benefit for asking that question, your experience?
Because it would get them thinking again. I think and this isn't the case for all clients, obviously, but I think for a lot of clients, they haven't put as much thought into their project as perhaps we would like them to have. And all these questions are simply just to open the doors, you know, get the conversation flowing. But I think this particular question, if your project could only achieve one goal, so if your website redesign in this case could only achieve one goal, what would it be? It just helps them to laser focus in on, okay, so what ultimately do I want this project to do? What is the one thing? You know, there might be secondary, tertiary, you know, there might be a number of goals. You know, I want to increase signups on my newsletters. You know, I want to increase overall revenue. I want everything. But if it could only do one thing and they can give you the answer to that, it will really help you to know, okay, this is like the crux of it. So if we go back to the monthly sales, the monthly revenue goals, whatever that might be, if they say, you know, it needs to be increasing the number of trial signups to get our revenue to X, then you know that that is the most important thing to your client. And it just gives you a really, really, really solid place to start. It might not be the place you end up, but it gives you a really solid place to start.
I think that's such a beautiful, succinct question to ask. And the benefit in that, there are a couple benefits. One is that you really hone in for the client on what their number one priority is as the project continues. So scope creep happens quite a bit in any type of freelancing project I've been a part of. And to draw back to that, hey, remember, this is the number one priority for this project, really helps hone in on the goal. And a really nice goal setting strategy for that is the SMART methodology, which is specific, measurable, action oriented, and time based. And that's a really good strategy to use with clients as a creative business sees fit. And essentially, in the case of a new website design, it'd be like, okay, I want this amount of revenue by this date, or this percent increase by this date. Very specific, very measurable. And then as the expert consultant or creative business, you can say, I think that's realistic, or that's probably not realistic. And it's a conversation oftentimes with the client or prospect to adjust expectations accordingly. And a lot of times they might just not understand the nuances of different variabilities affecting the end result.
That's one of my favorite questions, though, definitely. So
yeah, that's a great one.
So as we mentioned at the beginning, we've actually, you know, we've got loads of content over the blog, and this, we've actually, one of our most popular posts is actually deals with this situation. We actually have a book about this very topic as well. How to deal with client interviews. Which URL should we give out, David?
Oh,
To the book, to the blog post, to the film.
The movie. The film will be next, It'll be Nathan in front of a whiteboard teaching everyone. That's what we'll do next.
The book is an easy one. So we've got nusi.com/books/interviews. So we've actually got a very simple guide there on how to survive client interviews. We've also got the blog post right as well, which is easily searchable on blog.nusi.com, right?
Yep, that's exactly right. And we'll make sure to put the resources section of this podcast post, which will be on the blog. We'll have everything in there. We'll have links to other helpful articles. We'll have links to the tools we discuss, the book. So just go to blog.nusi.com shortly after this podcast, and you'll see the entire resource section in a blog post for this podcast.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, I think that's pretty much us done, right, for this week. Have I missed anything?
I think that's pretty good. I think we dropped some knowledge this time.
Fantastic. And we managed to keep the time respectable. So it's actually really hard to keep a podcast below half an hour. I think it's impossible. It almost feels like you're cheating people out of content.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But hopefully the value speaks for itself, and I think people will really like it. And if there are any questions, feel free to comment on the blog or email us directly at support@nusi.com, and we're happy to answer any questions you guys have.
All right, David, we'll have a great weekend, and we'll be back for the next show in a couple of weeks. Cheers, guys.
Thanks, Nathan. You too. Bye-bye. Bye.